Imagine a potential client just got rear-ended on the interstate.
Right.
They're standing on the shoulder of the road, the adrenaline is kind of fading, the panic is setting in, and they are holding their smartphone.
Right, the worst case scenario.
Exactly. And they type car accident lawyer into the search bar. Now, let's just be completely honest here. They are not reading your brilliantly written, 2,000-word blog post on the nuances of negligence.
No, absolutely not. Nobody has time for that in that moment.
They don't. They are looking at the top three names on a map, they're looking at the star ratings, and they're hitting call. So, welcome to the Legal Marketing Playbook from Forward Push Law Firm Marketing. I'm Ron.
And I'm Sandy.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into an article that was published directly on the Forward Push Law Firm Marketing website. And our mission today is really to unpack this local SEO play that I'd say the vast majority of attorneys are just completely missing. We are talking about Google's local map pack.
Yeah, and I think that scenario you just painted at the top is, well, it's just the perfect place to start. Because when you talk to law firms about getting found on Google, the obsession is almost exclusively on, traditional organic rankings.
Right, the classic blue links.
Exactly, spending thousands of dollars to climb up those traditional blue links for highly competitive keywords. And I mean, that makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, which is totally understandable because for a decade, that was the entire game. That's all anyone talked about. And we should be clear here, traditional organic ranking is still a crucial part of a holistic strategy.
Oh, definitely. It's not dead.
No, not at all. But the real immediate battleground for local clients, like the actual prime real estate that drives those high-intent phone calls, is happening in that tiny, highly contested geographic area right at the top of the search results.
Yeah, let's break down the actual geography of that mobile search screen for a second,
Yeah.
because there are only three spots in Google's local map pack for those geographic searches. Just three.
Three spots. That's it.
Right, so if that person on the highway searches, personal injury attorney near me, or someone in their kitchen searches divorce lawyer in Atlanta, Google serves up three specific firms right at the top, and it's usually bundled with that map graphic.
And if you think about the visual weight of those three spots compared to the standard organic results, it's wild. Like you do the search, maybe an AI overview generates at the very top now, but immediately after that, the map pack completely dominates the viewport of the
It
phone.
takes up the whole
It
screen.
really does. The traditional organic results are buried beneath a scroll. You have to actively hunt for them. But the thing is, the map pack doesn't just win on placement, it wins on, cognitive load.
Ooh, cognitive load. Yeah, explain that a bit more.
Well, think about an organic listing. It's basically just a headline and a meta description, right? It requires the user to click it, wait for a site to load, navigate the actual site, and then try to find the phone number.
Right, it's a whole process.
Yeah, exactly. But the map pack, it gives that panicked user star ratings immediately. It shows the total review count, it verifies the location, and best of all, it has a direct native call button right there in the interface.
So it's essentially bypassing the law firm's website entirely in a lot of cases. The vetting process is happening right there on the Google search page.
Yes, that is the massive shift in searcher behavior that so many firms just haven't adapted to yet. A lot of legal clients will evaluate a firm, make a decision based entirely on those visual trust signals, and hit the call button without a single page view on your actual website.
Wow. So they never even see the homepage you spent 10 grand on.
Nope. They see a 4.9 rating. They see you have 150 reviews. They see your office is 3 miles away. And for someone in a highly stressful legal situation, they don't need to read your firm's history. That social proof is all the vetting they need.
Which means a firm could theoretically rank number one in the organic text links. But if they are absent from those top three map spots, they are effectively invisible to the highest intent searchers.
Right. Completely invisible.
Yeah, they are competing in a completely different funnel.
And they are usually losing that specific funnel. So the real question becomes, if those three spots capture such a disproportionate share of the clicks and the calls, how does the Google algorithm decide who actually gets them? Because the mechanics of ranking in the map pack are very, very different from the mechanics of ranking a traditional web page.
Yeah, they really are. And I assume that starts with the Google Business Profile. Though, to be fair, I feel like most attorneys listening to this deep dive already know they need a profile. Like, they know they need their firm's name, their office address, and a working phone number on there.
Yeah, look, if you're listening to this, you already know you need your name and phone number on your profile. We aren't here to talk about the absolute basics today.
Thank goodness.
Right. But where law firms actually bleed visibility, like where the algorithm starts filtering them out, is in the structural categorization of that profile.
Categories, right.
Yeah. When you set up a Google business profile, Google asks you to select categories for your business. And I see this constantly. A firm will just select law firm or legal services as their primary category.
Okay, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. Isn't that technically accurate? Like, if a firm handles multiple practice areas, say, you know, personal injury, a little bit of family law, maybe some estate planning on the side, wouldn't a broad category capture the most traffic?
It's a super intuitive thought, but it completely works against how Google's database is structured.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Think of categories as hard filters in Google's entity graph. When a user searches for car accident attorney, Google's algorithm isn't just like scanning text for those words. It's looking for businesses that have explicitly categorized themselves as handling that specific intent.
Ah, okay. So it's about being explicit.
Exactly. If your primary category is simply law firm, Google basically views you as a generalist. You are thrown into this massive generic bucket. The algorithm will almost always prioritize a business whose primary category is exactly SCHAAF, personal injury attorney, over a generic law firm for an injury-related search.
Oh.
You have to tell the algorithm exactly what entity you are.
So if a firm does handle multiple distinct areas, like family law and criminal defense, which is pretty common, how does the database handle that without diluting their relevance? Like, what do they do?
Well, that's where you utilize secondary categories, but you have to be highly strategic about it.
Yeah.
You choose the specific category that drives your highest value cases as your primary category.
Okay, that makes sense.
So if your bread and butter is a divorce, your primary category must be family law attorney. Then you list criminal justice attorney or mediation service as your secondary categories.
Got it.
But you cannot, and I mean this, you cannot keyword stuff your categories. If you go in and select 20 different legal subcategories hoping to cast this wide net, Google's algorithm just gets confused about your core competency.
Right. You look like you do everything, which means you probably specialize in nothing.
Exactly. And in local SEO, confusion leads to demotion. The algorithm wants high confidence that if it sends a user to your physical location, you actually provide the exact service they requested.
Okay, so let's say a lawyer is listening to this. They go audit their profile right now. They fix the categorization. They upload some high-resolution photos of the office. They link everything properly. They are perfectly optimized on the back end.
Perfect.
But they still aren't showing up in the top three because, realistically, their top competitors in the city probably did all of that too. So what is the algorithm actually using as the tiebreaker?
This is where we transition from, you know, the foundational setup to the active engine of local SEO. Mm-hmm. Because a perfect profile is just the ticket to enter the stadium.
Right, you're just in the game at that point.
Exactly. The thing that actually determines who wins the game is review volume and, crucially, review velocity.
Okay, let's pause on that because reviews are a massive pain point for so many firms. Whenever I talk to lawyers, they bring up two major hurdles basically every time.
I bet I know what they are.
You probably do. One, they feel it's an ethics minefield or at least a privacy issue to aggressively solicit reviews, especially in sensitive practices like family law or criminal defense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And two, they just feel awkward asking. Like, it feels salesy. So they only ask when they win a massive multi-million dollar settlement.
And that hesitation is exactly why there is such a massive disparity in the map pack. You just identified what we call the systems gap.
The systems gap. I like that.
Yeah, let's look at the algorithmic math first, and then we will solve the awkwardness problem. Google relies on reviews as the ultimate crowdsourced trust signal. But it doesn't just look at the sheer volume, like the total number of reviews. It looks at velocity.
Which means how fast they're coming in.
Right, the frequency and the recency of new reviews. Imagine two firms. Firm A has 150 reviews. They have a brilliant 4.9-star average, but they haven't received a new review in 14 months.
Okay.
Then you have Firm B. They only have 60 reviews, a 4.8 average, but they get three or four new reviews every single month, like clockwork.
The algorithm favors Firm B, doesn't it? Because those recent reviews prove the business is currently operating, currently taking clients, and, you know, currently delivering good service. A review from 3 years ago is practically ancient history to a search engine trying to provide a real-time recommendation.
Precisely. Google's freshness algorithm kicks in. A burst of reviews in 2023 followed by radio silence just looks like a stagnant business. Or worse, it looks like a business that ran a single promotional campaign and then just stopped caring.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense from a user experience standpoint. But now, how do we solve the hesitation you mentioned earlier? Because you're right, relying on attorneys to personally ask for a review at the end of a highly emotional case is a terrible strategy. It fails almost every time.
It fails because we are human. You have to remove the human element of the ask completely. You close the systems gap by automating it.
Oh, I see. So you take it out of the lawyer's hands entirely and build it into the operational workflow of just closing out a matter.
Exactly that. Every modern law firm uses some form of practice management software, right? When a case is marked closed or resolved in that software, it should automatically trigger a webhook. And that webhook sends a polite, templated email or text message to the client maybe a few days later.
What does that message even look like so it doesn't sound robotic?
Something super simple, like, we are so glad we could help bring your matter to a resolution. If you had a positive experience with our team, it would mean the world to us if you shared it here. And you include the direct link to the Google Business Profile Review module right there in the text.
Ah, okay. So you don't ask them to go to Google and manually search for your name. You give them the exact destination URL. You remove every possible click or point of friction.
You make it a one-step process. And regarding that privacy concern you brought up, which is super valid in that automated message, you simply add a sentence that says, "We respect your privacy. Feel free to use just a first name or a pseudonym if you prefer."
That is so smart. It acknowledges the sensitivity, but still gives them an out while getting you the review.
Right. And if you automate this, you stop relying on the massive once-a-year victories. You start converting a steady, predictable percentage of your everyday clients into reviewers. Think about the math here for a second. If you close 20 matters a month, and just 20% of those people leave a review because the link was texted right to their phone, you're generating 4 reviews a month.
Which doesn't sound like a lot at first.
It doesn't. But that is 48 reviews a year. In a competitive market, that consistent velocity completely changes your authority score with Google. It changes your trajectory from invisible to inevitable.
That makes a ton of sense, and it completely reframes reviews from being a marketing task that people dread to just being an operational procedure, just part of closing a file.
Exactly.
But let's look beyond the Google ecosystem itself for a minute, because Google doesn't just trust its own data, right? It's crawling the rest of the web to verify what you actually claim on your profile.
Yeah, this is where we get into the hidden mechanics of local search. Google's algorithm kind of acts like a highly skeptical detective. You've claimed on your Google profile that your firm is located at 123 Main Street, Suite 400, and your phone number is 555-0199.
Right, you put it on your profile, so it must be true.
Google says, "Okay, well, that's what you claim. Let's see if anyone else corroborates your story." I like to use the metaphor of digital alibis.
Digital alibis. Okay, I like that.
Google goes out and interviews the rest of the internet to check your alibi. It crawls data aggregators and directories, places like Avvo, Martindale Hubbell, FendLaw, Yelp, the local chamber of commerce, and your state bar directory. These are your local SEO citations.
And it's looking for an exact match, isn't it? If stories don't line up, the detective gets suspicious.
The detective gets very suspicious. The algorithm actually assigns an entity confidence score. So if your Yelp profile lists an old phone number from 3 years ago, and your FendLaw profile just says 123 Main Street without the Suite 400, and then your state bar profile uses a slightly different spelling of the firm's name, your digital alibis are conflicting.
And I'm guessing Google does not like conflict.
It hates it. When data points conflict, Google's confidence score in your entity drops. And an algorithm will never rank a business highly if it isn't completely confident in the data. Because doing so risks sending a user to a wrong address or a disconnected phone number, which just ruins the user experience.
Yeah, you don't want to send someone trying to find a lawyer to an empty parking lot. But I imagine fixing this is tedious. Like, how does a firm actually clean up a mess of inconsistent data scattered across dozens of random directories?
You don't do it manually, I'll tell you that much. You use data aggregators, platforms like Yext or WhiteSpark, or you work with specialized local SEO agencies. These services plug directly into the APIs of all these major directories.
Oh, so they push the data out for you.
Exactly. You input your perfectly standardized name, address, and phone number, your NAP data, just once. And the aggregator acts as a central source of truth, pushing that exact unified data out to hundreds of sites simultaneously.
That is so much easier.
It is, and it locks the data down so it can't be overwritten by random web scrapers. Once your digital alibis align perfectly across the web, Google's confidence score shoots up, and your MAPPAC ranking follows right along with it.
Okay, so that covers the data side of things, but we also need to talk about the physical side, proximity. Because unlike citations or categories, a law firm can't just, you know, optimize their physical latitude and longitude.
No, they can't. Proximity is the immovable object of local SEO. Google fundamentally believes that a user searching for a local service wants a business that is near them. The algorithm literally draws a geographic bounding box around the user's location at the exact moment they run the search.
Which means if your law firm is physically located out in the distant suburbs, you are going to face a massive uphill algorithmic battle trying to rank in the map pack for a user searching from the absolute center of the downtown business district.
Exactly.
The algorithm just naturally favors a firm whose physical coordinates are closer to the user.
Right, which means firms need to be incredibly realistic about their strategy. If they are in the suburbs, they shouldn't blow their entire marketing budget fighting for the broad, ultra-competitive city name lawyer keyword.
Yeah, they shouldn't try to be the lawyer for the entire metro area if they're on the outskirts.
Exactly. You have to own your backyard first. You optimize your content and your profile for your specific suburb, your specific neighborhood, the surrounding zip codes. You dominate the hyperlocal searches where proximity works in your favor rather than fighting the algorithm where it works against you.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, to compound all of this, the algorithm is also tracking behavioral validation. We call these engagement signals.
You mean how a user actually interacts with the Google business profile once it appears on their screen?
Right. Google tracks the dwell, time-like, how long they linger on your listing. They track interaction rates. Did the user swipe through the photos of your office? Did they click the button to get driving directions? Did they click to call? Did they expand your Q&A section?
Okay, so it's not just about showing up. It's about whether people actually find your listing useful.
The algorithm uses these behavioral signals as real-time feedback. If Google shows your firm in the number two spot and a high percentage of users click on your profile, look at your photos, and ask for directions, Google's algorithm basically says, wow, users are finding this result highly relevant and useful.
And that behavioral feedback creates a positive loop that solidifies your ranking.
Exactly. Which means a static profile is a dying profile. You can't just fill it out in 2024 and let it sit there for 2 years. You have to feed it.
You have to treat it like a living platform, really.
You do. You should be uploading new photos, even just team photos or pictures of the building, every single month. You should be utilizing the Google Posts feature to share brief firm updates or link to new blog content.
And crucially, you must respond to every single review, positive or negative.
Yes. When you reply to a review, it signals to Google that there is an active, attentive human managing this entity. It increases the overall engagement score of the profile.
Okay, I want to pivot slightly here because everything we've discussed so far in this deep dive, the profile categorization, the automated review systems, the citation consistency, the engagement, we've framed it all around ranking on Google Maps.
Right.
But there is a much larger, frankly, more urgent reason why this specific infrastructure matters right now.
And this is the forward-looking revelation that changes the math on the whole investment. Optimizing for the local map pack isn't just a Google strategy anymore. It is the exact same playbook required for the new wave of AI search.
Yeah, we're talking about large language models, people using ChatGPT or Perplexity or Claude and asking them for recommendations instead of just Googling it.
Yes. The way search is evolving, users are going to Perplexity and typing, who is the most reputable criminal defense attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina for white-collar cases?
Which is a very specific, high-intent query.
Highly specific. And here is the secret. ChatGPT and Perplexity do not possess some magical independent knowledge of who the good lawyers are in Charlotte. They use a process called retrieval augmented generation. They go out and scrape the internet for structured data to form an answer.
Right.
And what is the most structured, highly verified local data on the web?
It's the Google business profile ecosystem, the data aggregators, the directories, the review platforms.
Exactly. The AI models ingest your review velocity. They analyze the sentiment of those reviews. They cross-reference your digital alibis from Avvo and the State Bar to verify you are a real entity. They read the specific categorization you set up.
So the law firms that are currently being recommended by AI search engines in local markets are almost exclusively the firms that have spent the last few years building an ironclad local SEO foundation.
Absolutely. The AI relies on the exact same local signal infrastructure that the Google Map Pack relies on.
That efficiency is just incredible when you think about it from a firm's perspective. You aren't doing Google SEO in one silo and AI optimization in another completely different silo. By systemizing your reviews and fixing your citations, you are simultaneously feeding both engines.
You do the hard, fundamental work once, and you build a moat around your digital presence that protects you across multiple platforms. Investing in your MAPPAC visibility is truly investing in two massive, distinct lead generation channels simultaneously. You are future-proofing your discovery.
Wow. So if we pull all of these threads together, what does a law firm need to take away from this?
The core takeaway is that the traditional organic blue links, while still valuable, are no longer the most critical battleground for local high-intent clients. The local MAPPAC is the prime real estate because it bypasses the website, lowers cognitive load, and drives immediate action.
Right.
And to claim one of those three spots, you have to move way beyond a basic profile. You need hyper-specific database categorization. You need a centralized system like a data aggregator to align your digital alibis across the web so Google has total confidence in your entity.
And most importantly, you have to close that systems gap on reviews.
You have to. You must implement an automated workflow that turns closing a case into a request for a review, generating the constant velocity that the freshness algorithm demands.
It really is a holistic ecosystem. You can't just buy a tool or run a single campaign and expect to permanently own that real estate.
You really can't. It requires an integrated approach. And just to connect the dots for our listeners here, I should mention that Forward Push manages all of these technical elements. The local SEO architecture, the GBP categorization, the citation alignment, and the automated review generation workflows.
Yeah.
They manage it all as part of their comprehensive case gravity system, which ensures all these moving parts actually talk to each other. Because as we've explored today, if your systems aren't talking to each other, you are creating confusion. And for the algorithm, confusion costs you clients.
It definitely does.
I want to leave you with a final practical thought, an exercise you can do the minute this deep dive ends. Plug your smartphone, turn off your Wi-Fi so you're on the cellular network, open a clean browser window, and search for your primary practice area in your specific city exactly the way a panicked or stressed client would type it.
And just see what comes up.
Look at this screen. Look at the MAPPAC. If you aren't one of those three names looking back at you, ask yourself the hard question. How many high-value clients did you just hand over to the firms that are?
That's a powerful thought to end on.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.